Well, welcome, everyone. My name is Molly Marin. I'm the webinar coordinator for the New York State RTI Technical Assistance Center. Just a few reminders before we get started today. We do have several upcoming professional development opportunities available to you, including one more webinar in today's webinar strand. They're all free of charge and offered to you. More information and registration information can be found on our webpage at nysrti.org. A copy of today's PowerPoint is also available on our webpage. If you go under Professional Development and then under Webinars, you'll find it under the title of today's webinar. We would like to congratulate the winner of the PALS manual from the November 2nd webinar, Megan Roberts. I'm not sure if she's on today, but congratulations, Megan. We will be raffling off another PALS manual today. We'll be pulling those names from the completed evaluation. If you complete the evaluation, the last two questions are name and email address. If you fill those in, we'll enter you into the drawing, and we'll notify you by the end of the week if you have won, and we'll announce it at the next webinar. Again, we'll post the link to the evaluation at the end of today's webinar, and we hope you'll take a few minutes to complete that. It'll also come to you via email shortly after the webinar concludes today. During today's presentation, please use the chat box for any questions or comments that you may have. We are very pleased to have back with us Dr. Kristen McMaster to present the fourth webinar in our Strand 10 series, Using Peer-Assisted Learning Strategies, PALS, as a class-wide intervention in grades 2 through 6. Today's topic is Prediction Relay. Dr. McMaster is a professor of special education at the University of Minnesota. She received her PhD in special education from Vanderbilt University. Her research interests include assessment and intervention for children who struggle with reading and written expression. And at this time, it is my pleasure to welcome back Dr. McMaster.
All right. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you, Molly. And I just wanted to make sure you all can hear me okay. So please just type in a chat if my voice is not loud enough, and I will try to fix that. So today we are in our fourth of the five webinars for PALS, and so far we've covered an overview of how to implement PALS in the classroom, including pairing students for PALS and selecting materials and scheduling PALS. We then covered partner reading with Retell. After that, we did paragraph shrinking and prediction relay. I actually covered that in the last webinar because we had a little time for that. So today what I'd like to do is put everything together so that you can hear how all of the different PALS features kind of fit together in one session. Next week, we'll have, or not next week, but next session on the 30th of November, we'll have a final booster session. And that will be a chance for you to ask any final questions that you have about PALS. If you've encountered some problems in getting it up and running in your classroom, or just have questions about how to keep it running smoothly, that will be an opportunity for you to do that. We will send out a questionnaire so that you can post questions ahead of time if you would like to do that. And then, of course, you'll be welcome to ask questions during the webinar itself. I will also be doing a preview of kindergarten and first grade PALS for those of you who might be interested in PALS for beginning readers. It's a very different focus, so I will give a little bit of an overview of what those programs look like and how they're different from grades 2 through 6. I see that my voice was fading in and out, so I'm just trying to speak loudly here, but if you continue to have trouble, please let me know. All right, so today we are going to review how the four PALS activities go together. I'll also do a review of how to pair students and how to select texts of appropriate difficulty. If you have questions about those things, that would be a great time to ask them. And then after we've asked or answered any questions that you have, I will go through some additional resources that are available in the PALS manual. So I'll be talking about some mini lessons that are available for supporting students' reading and coaching behaviors. So we're going to start with a little bit of review and a chance for you to ask some questions. So just to kind of review all of the different activities, I'm just going to walk through each one and how many minutes each is implemented for. I would direct your attention back to the website where we have posted the question card, the correction card, and the point sheets that are part of the set of student materials that you need to implement PAL. So we'll be referring to those materials today. So here's the front of the question card, and it kind of walks through all of the different activities. We start with partner reading, where the first reader, who's the stronger reader of the pair, reads first, and the second reader is the coach. They do that for 5 minutes. Then the second reader reads while the first reader is the coach. And they always read the same text as the first reader read. So they've heard a fluent model by the first reader, and now they reread the same text. They do that for 5 minutes. And both readers, as they're reading, will get 1 point for each sentence read correctly. So if you remember, every pair shares a point sheet, and they'll be marking points in this activity for each sentence read correctly. After the second reader has their turn reading the text, they will retell what they read so far. And it's the second reader's job to retell while the first reader asks the questions, what happened first, what happened next, and so on. And typically we do that for about 2 minutes, which you can adjust if your students are reading less text and thus don't have 2 minutes worth to retell. So you can adjust that to 1 minute depending on your students' needs. Then at the end of retell, the students decide whether they earned their 10 points, so it's up to them to determine whether their retell exchange was of high quality. If so, they mark 10 points. If not, they can decide how many points they did earn. And they don't have to have done a perfect retell to earn all 10 points. They just need to have done a good job of working together and trying their best in doing their retell. After that, they turn to the other side of the question card and they do paragraph shrinking. So now it's the first reader's turn again, and the first reader will read a paragraph, and after that paragraph, the coach will say, name the most important who or what, tell the most important thing about the who or what, and say the main idea in 10 words or less. And they do that for 5 minutes, so that first reader will read and shrink each paragraph for 5 minutes, and when the coach ask those questions, they'll mark 1 point for each step. Then it will be the second reader's turn, and again for 5 minutes they will read, and after each paragraph the coach will ask them to name the most important who or what and so on to tell the main idea, and they'll get 1 point for each of those 3 steps. And then finally, after the second reader has done paragraph shrinking, they move on to prediction relay. And on prediction relay, now it will be the first reader's turn again. They'll continue reading new text, and the coach will ask them to make a prediction by saying, what do you predict will happen next? They'll make their prediction, they'll read half a page, and after that half page, the coach will stop them and say, did your prediction come true? And they can say yes, no, or I don't know yet, because they might not know whether their prediction is going to come true or not. And they get 1 point for each of those parts of prediction relay. They do that activity for 5 minutes. After that, it's the second reader's turn. And again, the coach will ask the prediction questions. They get 1 point for each part of the prediction relay. And finally, they do that for 5 minutes. I realize there's some sound problems here. I'm sorry. If it's really terrible, we can pick up the phone receiver. Is this any better? I don't see any comments, so I'll just try to keep speaking loudly. Okay, so those activities are what students learn to do and will do as they continue implementing PALS after they've been trained using the 4-week training sequence, which we went through in the last couple of webinars. So there are 12 lessons in which the teacher uses the manual and the scripts in the manual to teach students to do all of those PALS activities. Once the training is completed, the students will do those 4 PALS activities every PALS session and it takes about 35 to 40 minutes to implement. We suggest doing 3 days per week. Once you're done training your students, you as the teacher in the classroom still have a very important role, and that is to monitor your students. And what you should be doing at that point is watching to see whether the students are following the routines, do they know the procedures, are they helping each other, do they give each other good feedback, do they make strong main idea statements, do they retell things in sequence, do they make good predictions. So your job as the teacher is really to be walking around, kind of looking over kids' shoulders and following along a little bit so you can get a sense of how well they're reading and understanding the text that they're reading. Students will have a set of materials. I think it's helpful to organize them in little two-pocket folders. And you can see in this picture, there's a correction card that has the prompts for if their partner makes a mistake, and they can always have that in front of them so they don't have to memorize it. They also have a question card with the different prompts for each activity. Their point sheet, which there's one point sheet shared between the two partners, and a pencil for marking points, and a PALS bookmark. And there's a template for PALS bookmarks in the manual. The PALS bookmark is handy for things like kids tracking as they're reading and following along with each other, and also obviously marking their place in their book after the PALS session is over. They also should have a book, and the book is selected by the teacher. I will review a little bit later how to go about selecting appropriate texts. Today, we have Harry Potter in the Chamber of Secrets to do a little review of how all of the PALS activities fit together. So, I actually have a very special guest with me today. Her name is Saido. That's spelled S-A-I-D-O, if you want to type her a hello. She is a student in our Special Education Teacher Preparation Program here at the University of Minnesota, and she's actually learned to do PALS in one of her methods classes, and her instructor highly recommended her as a PAL for me today, so she's here, and I'm very grateful that she agreed to be my partner. So what we're going to do is demonstrate two students being partners for each of the PALS activities. And the reason for doing it this way, we don't really have a good, high-quality, up-to-date video, and I'd really like to be able to show you kind of the whole partner interaction. I do have what we'll be reading on slides here, and hopefully I'll be coordinated enough to advance them as we read here. So what you can do is pretend that you are the teacher looking over our shoulders and listening to us as we read together. So you can get a sense for what it's like to be listening to students as they do the partner activities and also kind of see how the back and forth part goes. So hopefully this helps kind of envision an entire PAL session. I'll be abbreviating the time so we won't actually read for 5 minutes each, but you'll get a sense of what the turn taking is like. So, Saido, would you like to say hello?
Hi.
All right. And we are about to begin. So Saido is going to be the stronger reader of our pair here. So she'll read first. We'll start with partner reading. So she's going to read. I'm going to be the coach. And then you can just imagine that I'll be marking 1 point for each sentence that she reads correctly. Okay, so you may begin.
Not for the first time, an argument had broken out over breakfast at number 4, Privet Drive. Mr. Vernon Dursley had been woken in the early hours of the morning by a loud hooting noise from his nephew Harry's room. "Third time this week," he roared across the table. "If you can't control that owl, it'll have to go." Harry tried yet again to explain. "She's bored," he said. "She's used to flying around outside. If I could just let her out at night." "Do I look stupid?" snarled Uncle Vernon, a bit of fried egg dangling from his bushy mustache. "I know what'll happen if that owl's let out." He exchanged dark looks with his wife, Petunia. Harry tried to argue back, but his words were drowned by a long, loud belch from the Dursley son, Dudley.
All right, so the teacher's timer has gone off. That means it's time for us to exchange jobs. So now I will be the second reader. Saido will be my coach. I'm going to go back to where she started and read the same text for 5 minutes, and she'll help me with any mistakes that I might make. Not for the first time, and
check it.
I need help with that word.
That word is argument. What word?
Argument.
Good. Reread the sentence again.
Not for the first time, an argument had broken out over breakfast at number 4 Privet Drive. Mr. Vernon Dursley had been woken in the early hours of the morning by a loud hooting noise from his nephew.
Good. Read the sentence again.
Mr. Vernon Dursley had been woken in the early hours of the morning by a loud hooting noise from his nephew Harry's room. Third time this week, he roared across the table. If you can't control that owl, it'll have to go. All right, so my turn is up. Now it means it's time for retell, and my partner will ask me the retell questions, and I'll retell what we read so far.
What happened first?
They were arguing at breakfast time.
What happened next?
Mr. Dursley was mad because the owl woke him up.
What happened next?
He was yelling at Harry and saying the owl would have to go. So we would continue on doing that for about 2 minutes, and then it would be time for paragraph shrinking. So now we're back to Saido. She's going to read, and after every paragraph, I'm going to stop and ask her the paragraph shrinking questions. Now, because there is some dialogue in this book and some short paragraphs, I'm actually going to have her read a couple paragraphs at a time, and I'll move us to the next page when it's time for that. So you can see how we might chunk some of the paragraphs together in order to have enough to summarize. She's going to read from where I left off, but from there on, we're just going to continue reading new text. All right, so you may, and I'm going to set my timer again, and you may begin.
Harry tried yet again to explain. She's bored, he said. She's used to flying around outside. If I could just let her out at night.
Okay, name the most important who or what.
Harry.
Tell the most important thing about the who or what.
He wants the owl outside.
Say the main idea in 10 words or less.
Harry wants the owl to go outside.
Perfect. That's 7 words. So I would give her 1 point for each step, and then she'd continue reading.
Do I look stupid, snarled Uncle Vernon, a bit of fried egg dangling from his bushy mustache. I know what'll happen if that owl's let out.
Name the most important who or what.
Uncle Vernon.
Tell the most important thing about the who or what.
He doesn't want the owl to go outside.
Say the main idea in 10 words or less.
Uncle Vernon does not want the owl outside.
Okay, that's about 6 words. You did it again, okay? So I would mark 3 points and she would keep going.
Harry tried to argue back, but his words were drowned by a long, loud belch from the Dursley's son, Dudley. I want more bacon.
Okay. Name the most important who or what.
Dudley.
Tell the most important thing about the who or what.
He interrupted Harry and Uncle Vernon.
Say the main idea in 10 words or less.
Dudley interrupted Harry and Uncle Vernon.
All right, 1 point for each step there, and she would continue reading.
There's more in the frying pan, sweetum, said Aunt Petunia, turning misty eyes on her massive son. We must build you up while we've got the chance. I don't like the sound of that. that school food.
Okay, and now since the timer went off, it's my turn as the second reader to read. I'm going to continue reading new text so that I can pick up where she left off and summarize new paragraphs. So I will begin here. And my partner will still correct word reading mistakes as well. Nonsense, Petunia. I never went hungry when I was at melting, said Uncle Vernon heavily.
Check it.
I need help with that word.
That word is heartily. What word?
Heartily.
Now reread the sentence.
Nonsense, Petunia. I never went hungry when I was at smelting, said Uncle Vernon heartily. Dudley gets enough, don't you, son? Dudley, who is so large, his bottom drooped. Oops, sorry.
Name the most important who or what.
Uncle Vernon.
Tell the most important thing about the who or what.
He thinks that since he never went hungry, that Dudley's getting enough food, too.
Say the main idea in 10 words or less.
Uncle Vernon never went hungry at smeltings and thinks Dudley won't either.
Shrink it.
Uncle Vernon thinks Dudley will get enough food at school.
Good.
All right, so now I'll continue reading. And I got a point for each step. Dudley, who was so large, his bottom drooped over either side of the kitchen chair, grinned and turned to Harry. Pass the frying pan.
Name the most important who or what.
Dudley?
Tell the most important thing about the who or what.
I think Dudley's kind of fat, and he's asking Harry to pass the frying pan, so he's going to eat more bacon.
Say the main idea in 10 words or less.
All right. Saved by the bell here. Oops. And I will shut off my timer as soon as I can. It doesn't want to stop, so I'm just going to turn it off. Okay. All right, so now that I have finished with paragraph shrinking, we're going to go on to prediction relay. So we're going to pick up where I left off, and now it's again the first reader's turn. But this time I'm going to ask her to make a prediction. She'll read half a page, and we'll stop and check to see whether her prediction came through true, and she'll get us a point for each of those steps. So you can pick up here. And what do you predict will happen next?
Dudley will get a lot of food.
All right. Read half a page.
You've forgotten the magic word, said Harry irritably. The effect of this simple sentence on the rest of the family was incredible. Dudley gasped and fell off his chair with a crash that shook the whole kitchen. Miss Dursley gave a small scream and clapped her hands to her mouth. Mr. Dursley jumped to his feet, vein throbbing in his temples. I meant please, said Harry quickly. I didn't mean... What have I told you, thundered his uncle, spraying spit over the table, about saying the M word in our house. But I... How dare you threaten Dudley, roared Uncle Vernon, pounding the table with his fist. I warned you. I will not tolerate mention of your abnormality under this roof. Harry stared from his purple-faced uncle to his pale aunt, who was trying to heave Dudley to his feet.
All right. Did your prediction come true?
No.
Okay.
It did not.
What do you predict will happen next?
Harry will get food again this time?
All right. Now my timer is just going off silently here. So she would have done that for 5 minutes. She would continue making predictions, reading half a page and confirming her prediction. And then it would be my turn. So picking up where she left off, I'll read new text.
What do you predict will happen next?
I predict that Harry will be in trouble and get sent to his room.
Read half a page.
All right, said Harry. All right. Uncle Vernon sat back down, breathing like a winded rhinoceros. Rhinoceros?
Check it.
I need help with that word.
Rhinoceros. What word?
Rhinoceros.
Good. Reread the sentence.
Uncle Vernon sat back down, breathing like a winded rhinoceros and watching Harry closely out of the corners of his small, sharp eyes. Ever since Harry had come home for the summer holidays, Uncle Vernon had been treating him like a bomb that might go off at any moment because Harry Potter wasn't a normal boy. As a matter of fact, he was as not normal as it is possible to be. Harry Potter was a wizard fresh from his first year at Hogwarts School of Witchcraft and Wizardry. And if the Dursleys were unhappy to have him back for the holidays, it was nothing to how Harry felt.
Did the prediction come true?
Not at all. I thought he was going to get in trouble, but that's not what happened. And then I would make a new prediction, continue reading, and making predictions until my 5 minutes were up. And of course, we would be continuing to get a point for each step in prediction relay. So that is what an entire PAL session would look like, although that was much shorter than it normally would go because I was abbreviating the time. I'd just like to take the opportunity to thank Saido again. Thank you so much. She has to go to class, so she's going to step out. But hopefully that demonstration was helpful to you. Okay, at this point, I just want to see if there are any questions about what you just observed. Hopefully it gave you a chance to get a sense of what it's like to be a teacher listening to students reading. Okay, I don't see any questions. I'm sorry about the volume. I'm trying to put this as close to me as I can. And I had a poll, and Molly, I'm really sorry I forgot about the poll, but I think this would be a good time to put that up on the screen. So Molly's posting a poll which asks you to indicate the extent to which you've begun to implement PALS. And it's okay if you haven't. I would just like to have some idea of how many of you are actually trying things out in your classroom and where people are in the process. So it looks like we've had some manual readers, students are paired, we're selecting text. Great, it looks like at least some of you have tried to train your students or have trained your students in the various activities, maybe not quite to prediction relay yet. That's really helpful. Good to see that people are at least getting off the ground. So again, I would encourage you to ask questions now, but also there will be another opportunity in a couple of weeks. So if you're just getting started and have any questions or issues or problems to be solved, we can certainly address those then. Okay, it looks like the poll is kind of winding down there. So thanks. Oh, no, still a few respondents. Give it another few seconds here. Are you okay? Are you hearing me okay now? Great. Okay, another couple seconds and then we can move on with the next part of the PowerPoint. Good. Thank you. All right. So I just wanted to take a little bit of time to review pair assignments. I won't spend too much time because I know we've talked about this before, but just to jog your memories in case there are any questions. So once again, to pair your students, you would be ranking your class according to their current reading performance. So using the most recent reading data that you have, and ranking them based on their reading level. And I think reading fluency data is perfectly fine as a gauge for reading performance. If you have information about comprehension, that's helpful as well. You can make adjustments to the ranking based on your own knowledge of your students. But the idea is to get a pretty good sense of the ranking of your students according to their current skills. And then you'd split that list in half and pair the top students from the top half with the top students from the lower half of the class, and so on down the list, so that there's some difference between pairs, but not such a huge gap that they'll be frustrated in working together. And then feel free to post any questions that you have about pairing students. I'll move on and talk about selecting text. Again, the text should be at the weaker reader's level, so the rule of thumb is no more than 10 errors per 100 words. And each pair can be reading from different texts. Within the pair, students are sharing a book, and it is pretty important that they share one book between them. Sometimes teachers ask if they could be reading from separate copies, but I really don't recommend that, because if they're reading from separate copies, it's hard for them to kind of stay on track with each other. They should be following along with their partner, so if they're reading from separate texts, it's easy for them to kind of get out of sync with each other. So really sharing the one book is important. But they can be reading different texts from other students in the classroom. And that's a good way to differentiate for different readers in your class. In terms of scheduling PALs, the recommendation is to implement PALs preferably 3 times per week, 2 times if your schedule just doesn't allow 3 times, but I would say as much as possible, the consistency of PALs is really important. So 3 times per week is ideal, 35 to 45 minutes per session. Once you have all 4 activities in place, it does take just about 35 minutes if you minimize transitions between activities. And then implement PALs for at least 16 to 18 weeks. That's how long it's been implemented in research. So that's sort of the minimum amount where we know that there's a good possibility of good improvement in students' reading. And then implement PALs at a regular time, same time each day, same days each week, as much as possible, just to make it part of your routine. You might be groaning at this point when I bring back fidelity, but I think it's just important to underscore the importance of fidelity. Follow the PAL scripts. Again, it doesn't have to be verbatim, but should cover the content of each lesson. And really critically, use those PALs materials. We've made those available on the website, so if you don't have access to the manual right away, they are there, but I would make copies of those and make sure that each pair has a set of question card, correction card, and point sheet, just so they can follow each of the procedures with fidelity themselves. And as you're monitoring students, it's perfectly fine if you notice that students are not getting it, if they are having difficulty correcting each other, or they're not doing not really understanding how to make main idea statements during paragraph shrinking. You can certainly go back and do a whole class lesson, reteach them skills that they might not have gotten the first time around or just need a little bit of reinforcement. You should certainly feel free to do that. I think it's better to correct those things than to just kind of let it go, because then students won't get the most out of PALs. And then try to implement PALs according to the recommended dosage. So far I haven't seen any questions, but again, encourage you to post them if you have them. I did send out a survey last week, but there weren't any questions posted on that, so I have none to share with you today. So I'll move on to mini lessons. And actually, the mini lessons address a lot of the common questions that come up during PALs. So I will kind of try to speak to those a bit here. So if you have a PALs manual, you might have noticed in the table of contents and towards the back of the manual, there are a set of mini lessons. And the mini lessons are little scripted lessons. They look a lot like the training lessons that you use at the beginning of PALs. But these are optional lessons, so you don't have to do any of them. You can choose to do some of them. They're really designed to supplement the PALS lessons when your students need additional instruction. So if your students are fine with PALS, you might not need to use the mini lessons, but if you notice that they're struggling with a particular skill or they're having trouble coaching each other, this is when the mini lessons might be useful. So just use the ones that are needed, and you can kind of scan through the table of contents and say, oh yeah, so my student is having trouble retelling things in sequence, so I think I'll do that mini lesson. You can do the mini lessons during your usual PALS time. They are whole class lessons, so it might be a little bit of a break from the usual partner activities. So you'd bring the whole class together and implement the lesson as it's scripted out. And some of them have particular materials that you can organize ahead of time. You're welcome to reproduce anything that's in the manual for the purpose of using it in your classroom. So get those things organized and go ahead and implement that mini lesson. So on a day that you do implement a mini lesson, you can decide whether that will be your PALS session for the day. But if possible, you might still have time for some partner work, so you could just maybe abbreviate the partner activities. So kind of like I did with Saido, you could shorten the time of each turn just so that kids still get a chance to read and work with their partner after you do the brief mini lesson with the class. So it's really designed to be flexible and meet the needs of your students. So I'll just briefly review what kinds of mini lessons are available. These are available as you need them. There are three mini lessons for reading for information. So these are designed for if you'd like to apply PALS to nonfiction. So maybe you are using PALS as part of science reading or social studies or history. Or maybe you're just selecting nonfiction books for students to read. Oftentimes, kids are really motivated to read nonfiction books. And generally, the PALS strategies are pretty much the same for nonfiction with just some slight differences. So, for example, with partner reading and retell, students would still do partner reading, one child reading for 5 minutes, then the second child reading the same text for 5 minutes. For retell, instead of saying what happened first, what happened next, they might say what did you learn first, what did you learn next, and so on. Because with nonfiction or informational text, it's not necessarily something that's happening. It might be something that's just being presented or that they're learning about. So the questions are just a little bit different, and the mini lesson is designed to help students understand how they can sort of modify the prompts for the particular text that they're reading. Similarly, with paragraph shrinking and prediction relay, they might be focusing more on the most important what rather than the most important who. So if it's a factual text or a descriptive text, maybe it's about volcanoes. So it might be name the most important what that the text is talking about. Name the most important thing about that what. And with prediction relay, instead of what do you predict will happen next, they might ask what do you predict you'll learn next. And students could use the headings, the pictures, the figures and graphs that are in the text to make predictions about what they'll learn in that text. So again, the activities are very similar as they are when kids are reading fiction or novels, but just tweaked a little bit to make more sense in the context of nonfiction or informational text. There are also three mini lessons, and they're numbered 2, 3, and 4, for retell. So let's say that you've trained your students in all of the PALS activities. You're walking around the room and listening to your students during their partner activities, and you hear that a number of your students are not retelling events in sequence, or that they're having trouble sticking to just the parts of the text that they read, or they're not necessarily including all of the important parts that they read. If you hear that kids are struggling with any of those aspects of retell, then you could pick one or more of those mini lessons and deliver them. So you might just have a week where each day you do a little brief retail mini lesson, and then you still have some abbreviated partner reading and retail time for students. So that would be a way to address any problems that you see. And I would do this if you see that many kids or, you know, a number of children in the class are struggling with retail. If it's just one or two, you might want to work, you know, correct them as you're working with them and their partners. But if it's a widespread issue, you could cover it with a mini lesson. Similarly, there are four mini lessons for paragraph shrinking. So there's a mini lesson for if students are struggling to identify the most important who or what, you could cover that in a mini lesson. If they're having a difficult time naming the most important thing about the who or what, there's a mini lesson for that. If they're doing fine with those things, but they're having trouble making good, concise, 10 words or less main idea statements, there's a mini lesson for that, and there's also one for shrinking. So when their partner makes overly long main idea statements, how to shrink those down into good main idea statements. And these are, I think teachers like these mini lessons because main idea statements can be very difficult for students, and it does take some time. So if you're getting to the point where kids are doing paragraph shrinking and you're noticing that they're struggling, part of it is it might just take some practice doing that. They're just not perfect, and as Saito and I read, you might have noticed that, you know, that might not have been exactly what you would have said was the main idea. So, you know, it's not ever going to be perfect. But if you see that your students are really struggling with that, you can certainly go back and do some mini lessons around main idea. And then there's one mini lesson for prediction relay. That activity, kids tend to have a little bit of a better sense of how to do, but there is a mini lesson for making a good prediction. And just to remind you that a good prediction is not necessarily correct, but it's reasonable in the context of the story. Looks like Amy might have a question, so I'll pause. Oh, nope, she just lost her. Glad to have you back, Amy. There are several mini lessons as well for student behaviors. Maybe some of you have started implementing PALS, have encountered this aspect of PALS, that student behaviors can really make or break a successful PALS lesson. So the more that you have some control and some leverage over student behaviors, the more smoothly it will go. And lots of times when I talk with teachers, these are some of the things that they bring up. So the number one thing is, what do you do when pairs are having trouble cooperating? So there's a mini lesson about that, just kind of emphasizing the importance of helping your partner. There's a mini lesson about how to give as well as receive help. Some students have trouble with both of those things. Giving help doesn't always come naturally to kids. They might just not have the skills. It's not that they don't want to help each other, but just how do you go about doing that? And then on the other side, some children have a hard time accepting feedback, but there is a way to both give help in a way that's kind and helpful, and a way to receive that help in a constructive way. So there's a mini lesson to help students understand that. And I think it's kind of a nice little life lesson for students to learn to be a good partner for each other. There's also some specific mini lessons about how to be a good coach during partner reading, like listening to your partner, following along, making sure you catch their mistakes, that sort of thing. How to coach during retell, which includes listening to the retell, making sure to prompt your partner, making sure to help fill in information that the partner might have forgotten, or help put things in the right order. And then coaching during paragraph shrinking is all about helping your partner make good main idea statements. So these are some extra lessons just to help kids become better partners and coaches for each other. And then finally, there's a couple of mini lessons about student motivation. Again, you know, kind of along the lines of the cooperation PALS. PALS is usually quite motivating and novel for students at the beginning, but as the year wears on, as with many things, it sort of becomes a routine, and students might become a little bit bored with it, or just, you know, for whatever reason, not so motivated. So there are a couple things that are in the mini lessons, and you're welcome to think of other ways to kind of keep it fresh and exciting for them. But one approach that some teachers have really enjoyed, actually, I think some of the teachers in our research came up with this idea, is a secret pair. And so what the teacher might do at the beginning of TALS is say, okay, I have a secret pair in mind today, maybe pull their names out of a hat or something, and have that secret pair, you know, in a special box or a hat, or just kept to the side in your pocket or whatever. And students know that you have your eye on that secret pair, but of course they don't know who it is because it's a secret. So oftentimes kids will just do their very best during PALS just in case they're the secret pair. And you could tell them at the beginning what you're looking for specifically. So maybe today I'm looking for pairs who are doing a really good job of helping each other when they make mistakes, or they're being really good coaches, or they're making really good main idea statements, whatever it is you want your students to be especially working on. And then you can be monitoring the students, and at the end of the PALS lesson, you would announce who the secret pair is, and they could do a little self-assessment. You know, did they actually do a good job with coaching or whatever it was you had your eye out for? And then, you know, they just get recognized for that, or you might have them lead the line for the day or whatever special privilege makes sense to you to do. Another motivating thing is super points, which is a way just to maybe have the whole class earn a bunch of points together. Just another way to sort of change up the routine of earning points and having all kids in the class be motivated to earn points together. So these are a couple of ways to motivate students. I'm sure teachers are always good at coming up with motivating things for their students. Another piece, though, that I would say is probably the number one way to keep kids motivated is for you yourself to convey your own enthusiasm for PALS, that you're excited to be doing it, that you think it will help them become better readers. I think the more excited the teacher is, that really kind of rubs off on the students, and they'll be more excited too. And sometimes that's hard. Sometimes you're not excited about doing it, and so you might need to kind of be an actor for the day. But I think that does go a long way in helping students feel enthusiastic about what they're doing as well. So those are the mini lessons. Any questions at this point about the mini lessons that are available? Just pause for a moment. Don't see any questions. Any last questions? So that's the end of today's presentation. I do see Donna is typing a question, so maybe we'll have hers in a moment. As she's typing, I'll just remind you that in our next session, we'll do a bit of review. Again, I'll send out a survey probably before the Thanksgiving break so that you have a chance to put those questions in before you go on holiday. And I'll do my best to answer those and anything else that comes up. And I'll also give a preview of the kindergarten and first grade PALS lessons. So Donna asks, are there any suggestions for the winning team? So at the end of each week, you'll have your students in their pairs report out their points. In the manual, there's the scoreboard that you can use to record team points. So all pairs in PALS are put on two different teams. They report their points, and you add those up for each team. The winning team, you know, you could do something as simple as just having them take a bow, and the rest of the class came in second can then also get a pat on the back. It could be as simple as that. But just depending on how you typically like to motivate and reinforce your students, you could do other things. So I mentioned a while ago line leaders. I guess the whole team might not be the line leaders, but maybe they're the first group to line up for lunch. Or maybe they're the ones that you post their names on a special PALS bulletin board. There could be some tangible reward for it, although I really actually don't think that is necessary. Kids just generally like to be on the winning team. So those are the things that I usually hear teachers doing. If others have suggestions, please feel free to share those. I think it's always fun to hear what other people have in mind. I've had teachers just have an area in the classroom where the point sheets get posted for students who have been on the winning team. But usually, I think you don't need to make too big of a deal about it. Kids just kind of like that part, and then we move on and do it again the next week. Any other questions?
Well, I'm going to post the link to the survey. I see Teresa's post typing, so we'll let her type. But in the meantime, there's the survey. And again, if you want to be entered into the PALS drawing, please complete the survey and enter in your name and email. A few people are typing, so we'll give it a minute. Lots of thank yous. So, Dr. McMaster, thank you again for joining us, and we look forward to the last webinar in 2 weeks. If you want to hang on for a minute, I'd appreciate that.
Okay, I will. Thank you, everybody.